You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Shh. Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Kia ora. Welcome to our new Wednesday Morning Glory segment. This is Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu. Every week we're going to be talking about a lesser known native bird here in Aotearoa. And this morning we're going to be talking about the pipi wharauroa, the shining cuckoo. Beautiful. And here to talk with me about native birds is my homie, Pete Tonda. He is passionate about Aotearoa native birds. He has a background in environmental planning and conservation. He just wants me to be clear, he's not a bird scientist, but just loves birds, weaves them into his art practice. And he spent 11 years working for Te Papa Atawhai, DOC, plus various roles within council iwi and NGOs. I just want to welcome you, Pete, to the studio. Nō mai haramai.
Morena, thank you for having me here.
No worries. Now, we have a special bird on the menu today, the pipi wharauroa. And this is what you were telling me, it was a migratory bird.
Migratory.
Yep. I just wanted you to explain. So we have native birds in Aotearoa, but we also have endemic birds, and then there's some other categories as well. Would you be able to explain those to us?
Sure. Thank you, Lib. Yeah, so there's kind of four categories. Top of the list is the endemic birds. So those are native, but they're only found in Aotearoa, and they've kind of evolved because of our isolated geographical sort of position.
Cool.
And so a lot of those are like the kei birds, the kiwi, the kakapo, kaka, kia, and we've got fio, pātiki. There's a whole list of them. That's the first category. And then the second category is native. And so they're naturally found in Aotearoa, but they also live elsewhere. And most of them have come from mostly Australia. Mm. So we've got like the pukeko, which comes from Australia. It's been here 1,000-odd years. We've got the kahu, the Australian harrier hawk.
Which is your favourite bird.
It is one of my spirit birds. And some more recent ones like the royal spoonbill, that's been here since the mid-20th century, and the spur-winged plover, been here about 1930. Very noisy bird. So.
Cool. And then we've also got
migratory birds. Yeah. So that. They're native birds, but they just like to go on holiday a lot. So they migrate between Aotearoa and other countries on a seasonal basis. And a few examples, we've got the beautiful kuaka, the bar-tailed godwit, that flies enormous distances. The lesser knot, the curlew sandpiper, and a whole bunch of others.
Yeah, cool.
And then lastly, we've got the introduced birds, which we as humans bought to Aotearoa, wisely or not. So magpies, pheasants, sparrows, blackbirds, thrush, quail, minor, goldfinch, there's a whole heap of them.
Yeah,
so it's just good to keep those four categories in mind.
Yeah, and you were saying to me that all endemic birds are native, but not all native birds are endemic.
Yes,
and that's a really important distinction to make, eh?
Yeah.
So, today we're going to be talking about the pipi wharauroa, and I just wanted, we wanted to talk about a whakatauki about the pipi wharauroa, that is commonly said, it's kātangi te pipi wharauroa ko te karere a mahuru, and it means the pipi wharauroa's call signals when spring has begun, and I wondered, Pete, why that is, why does the pipi wharauroa's call come about in spring?
Because that's when they arrive.
Yeah.
And I guess for Māori, that was a harbinger of spring.
Yeah.
And, you know, an indication of change, of renewal.
Yeah.
Of, you know, you start to look at the garden, start thinking about planting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful kind of whakatauki.
Yeah, it is, eh? And then there was also another phrase that I came across that was I hikoe I te tangi o te o pipi wharauroa. Where were you when the shining cuckoo sung? And it relates to how people show up for the harvest but don't show up to do the mahi. So I guess I was just thinking about that and I was like, well, we got to do the mahi, get the treats, eh, Peter? Yeah. And then we just wanted to kind of break down the name, Pipi Wharauroa. Do you have any thoughts on that, Pete?
Yeah, from what I researched, like pipi's to kind of chirp or to squawk.
Yep, yep.
Whāro is to journey,
mm-hmm.
and roa is sort of means long.
Yeah, wow.
And that's what I love about Te Reo names, you know, they're very meaningful. They kind of describe what's happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Compared to scientific names that are unpronounceable, named after the scientists that sort of discovered the bird. So yeah. I love the Te Reo names.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you like a whakapapa of the bird, where they come from, where they're going. I love that as well. And I think this one is so explicit, this name, right? You know, we've got pipi, chirp, whāro, journey, roa, long. Like roa and te araroa, like the long trail from Cape Reanga to Bluff. Yeah. And so, Pete, what does the manu look like? Give us a – what is she wearing? What's she, New Zealand Fashion Week, what is she giving?
They're pretty flashy birds, eh?
Yeah.
They've got this wonderful iridescent green over their back and their wings.
Mm. And is then, that where they get the shining name from?
Yeah. And then on their underside – they've got this lovely sort of cream colour with these beautiful grey stripes that go horizontally across their body. So they are spectacular little birds, but it's very hard to see them.
Yeah, you were saying to me that you often hear them but you don't see them because they camouflage so well.
So well camouflaged. I don't know how many times I have been looking up into the trees, listening to it, and I can't find it.
Because they've got a very distinctive call, as you would have heard in the little recording that we played. It's at the end of their call, they kind of crescendo down.
Yes.
So they'd be quite easy to recognise, but obviously very hard to spot, yeah.
And once you tune your ear to it, you will hear it every time.
Yeah.
And you will stop what you're doing and you will just listen and think, I wonder where that little bird is.
Yeah. If people are trying to find them, where would they find them?
They're sort of everywhere, but they like bush fringes, scrubland. But you find them in the urban areas. There was one reported in Western Springs on Monday.
Really?
Someone took a beautiful photo.
Oh, my God.
So
if that person's listening, can they please send in a photo? We'd love to see it. Well, it's so special to hear about that sighting because I know it's so – I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're also wanted to talk about, like, the migration patterns of these birds. So you mentioned that they come to Aotearoa in spring, so that was what the whakatauki was talking about, ka tangete pipi wharauroa ko te karere a mahuru. Where are the birds going for the rest of the year? They sound like they're having a bloody nice holiday.
so they migrate from the Bismarck Archipelago and the Solomon Islands.
Where is Bismarck, Pete?
Oh, it's up towards north of Australia.
Like Papua New Guinea
around
ways?
That area.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. I looked at the map. That's kind of where it is.
Just making it clear, whānau, we're just very passionate about birds. We don't know everything. So they're going to the Bismarck Archipelago and the Solomon Islands. And what are they doing up there when they're up there?
Well,
just hanging out.
Hanging out, eating, and... but they do their breeding here in Aotearoa.
Yeah, so they come back here in the spring, you said?
Yeah, so it just gets a bit cold at the end of autumn and they think we need to go to warmer climate.
Yep.
So we talk about breeding patterns?
Yeah, let's do it.
And this is the kicker. This really is. And I would describe their breeding patterns as sneaky, cunning, treacherous, lazy, but brilliant.
I think it's kind of like their breeding patterns are like a useless dad.
And mother, to be honest. So what happens is that they come along and then the mother, Pipifararoa, realises, oh, it's time to breed. Oh, what a lot of admin. How can I circumvent this process and make it really efficient? And so they go and find a nest of the riro, the grey warbler, that's already done the hard mahi of making the nest, laying their eggs. They wait for the bird to go and feed, and then the bird hops in the nest, tosses out one of the eggs, and lays one of their own, just one of their own.
That is just crazy to me.
And that's it. That's it. My job is done. I'm into party mode for the rest of the summer. And so the poor riro comes back, probably wonders something feels slightly different, but diligently lays those eggs. And in hatching, the Pipifararoa chick often comes out first or near first, breaks out of the egg, looks around and thinks, I don't want to compete with these geezers in the nest. So it tosses out all the chicks and the eggs, so it's the only one left. So it just gets sole attention from the poor riro.
It kills all its adopted
siblings. Yes, that's the treacherous, murderous aspect of this.
If you're just tuning in, whānau, we're talking about the pipi whareroa, the shining cuckoo, and I'm talking with Pete Tonda here. He's an ex-conservation worker and a massive fan of native birds. This is our new segment, Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu. The pipi whareroa is ruthless.
Ruthless. And so it gets all the feed, and the poor mother riro raises it to fledging stage, and then the little chick flies off and joins its whānau, and that's that.
So can you explain what fledging is? Because I don't actually know.
Oh, fledging the point where they've been fed in the nest, they've grown enough so that they can leave the nest and fly.
Yeah. So they're raised to fledging, and then what happens once they're fledging? Do they go back and join their other pipi whareroa whānau?
Have a party.
It's just crazy to me. Oh my God. I guess shout out to the shining cuckoo. And what would you find these birds eating, Pete?
Yeah, they eat various insects.
Yeah.
And they can tolerate some toxic type insects.
I've read about this.
Toxic hairy caterpillars, ladybirds, who are not that great to eat normally, but they seem to tolerate it. And then they eat beetles and other little insects. So
I probably haven't told you, but when I was younger, I ate a ladybird because I was so bored. it was on my plate, and I was like, I had nothing to do, so I just ate a ladybird.
You wouldn't have felt very full after that.
Not enough protein, eh? they're eating kind of the insects that other birds aren't able to eat, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And we just had a couple of questions come through, Pete. I was wondering just one mainly. How did the pūkiku get to New Zealand?
It flew to New Zealand.
From where?
From Australia.
Oh my gosh.
My understanding, and this is where me not being a scientist comes in, but I sort of absorb these things from the guys I work with. I think pūkikos, they can fly. They're pretty lazy flyers around Aotearoa.
Yeah.
But I think they used to fly better. But the thing is, you get these big storms and these massive wind currents, and they can get up on those wind currents, and that's the way that a lot of birds from Australia have found their way to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And diseases like myrtle rust have come on the winds as well from Australia.
It's pretty incredible.
Long journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't fly that far.
Yeah. I can't fly at all.
I'm trying my hardest.
I'd like to. I'd like to.
Would be cool, eh? Oh, thanks, Pete, for coming in. We've been talking about the Pipi Whadauroa, the Shining Cuckoo. They have a green, shiny back, and then underneath they've got a white belly with brown stripes on them. So keep an eye out for those whānau, because they'll be around this spring.
Yes, through to autumn.
Through to autumn. And now, Pete, you've got a song you want to play for us. Can you talk to us about this song?
Yes, the song, it's a song by John Henlon, Damn the Dam. Mm. And it's 1973. I was 13. And it was the first song that really raised my attention to environmental issues.
Yeah, yep.
And it really stuck with me. And I think it was influential. And it was originally a commercial for Pink Bats.
But what?
Yeah,
this
but then
song
the
was a commercial for it.
I don't know why, because you look at the lyrics and it's got nothing to do with Pink
and
Bats.
And also, like, Pink Bats, such a harmful, like, material. Yeah.
But the Save the Manapouri campaign picked up that song as their theme song, and they were protesting against raising the level of Lake Manapouri, and that really struck a chord with me. So love the song.
Yeah.
And it's quite a significant one.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for coming in, Pete. This is Damn the Dam by John Henlon.
Be forced to kiss the image of a mountain. The early morning mist has ceased to play. Of a waterfall which dazzles with its spray. Tall and strong and aged, contented and serene, a cowrie tree surveys this grand domain. And from miles and miles around him, the sea rolling green, tomorrow all his beauty won't remain. Damn the dam, cried the fantail, as he flew into die. Rainfall from above and splashes on the ground, goes running down a mountain to the sea, and leaping over pebbles makes such a joyful sound, such is Mother Nature's gift to me. I have grave reflection, reflection of a grave, trees that once lived green now dead and brown, the homes of tiny animals and little birds as well, for the sake of man's progression have been drowned. Damn the dam, cried the fantail, as he flew into the sky, to give power to the people, all his beauty has to die.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.